Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
From the Southern Bancorp Studios in Oak Grove, just outside of Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander, Bob Getty, and Dima Mixon out today. But rumor has it that at least Dima will be back on Monday. Not sure about the boss man, but boss man does what he wants to do. So we'll just see. This first segment of the program brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Smoked here, loved everywhere. Big supporters of Southern Miss, and you should be a big supporter of Dickey's when it comes to your catering events, whether it's big or small. Not only the best barbecue, but a wide variety of side items to be selected as well. Give Dickey's a try. You'll be glad that you did. The whole hour today, we are pleased to have the Senior Deputy Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer, the COO of Southern Miss Athletics, Sean Jones, the native of Moberly, Missouri, has been. Now, I say Missouri, Sean. A lot of people will argue that. So is it Missouri or Missouri?
Depends on what part of the state you're from.
And that's what I've been told.
It's Missouri where I'm from, but it's Missouri a lot of other places.
In the southern part,
that's
right.
Right? That's right.
Been at Southern Miss now for 2.5 years, and there's a lot of things to talk about, not only about the football season coming up, but we thought that we would avail this hour to have Sean educate us on if there has ever been a time where college athletics overall has been more in flux. I can't remember it, and I've been around quite a while. So with that, Sean, I want to first start with setting some records straight as far as, because lots of times when you hear people say, well, there's too much emphasis put on athletics, too much money being spent on athletics. And although any athletic department is supported by a tax base of generally the state, a public institution, a lot of the money that athletic departments use and spend have to be raised. So tell us how that relationship works between state taxes and money that athletic departments have to raise.
Well, Kelly, it varies by each state and what each state set of laws provide for institutions to have for institutional support and for state dollars. And certainly, you know, Dr. Paul and our leadership at Southern Miss provides us with every opportunity they can to give us what they can within the rules and parameters set within the state of Mississippi. And then, of course, we have to go out and raise a lot of the funds ourselves to operate. You know, for example, we raise the funds for our scholarships. I think that's about a $6.6 million amount per year. And then when it comes to the new world that we're in with revenue sharing, we raise all of our dollars through external gifts from our generous supporters. So, you know, there are some states that allow institutions to use state or school funds for rev share, but we're not one of those, and there are several others that aren't as well. So you just have to look at what you're provided and the amount that you get. I think our amount from a budget perspective at Southern Miss, you know, overall is around $33 to $34 million, but you know, a chunk of that comes from outside support through our athletic foundation, and then the other parts do come from the university. So yeah, you know, every place has its advantages and disadvantages when it comes to that. I've worked in four different states and certainly have colleagues that work all over the country. And so when you visit with them, different things can be funded different ways in different places. So we have, you know, our framework for how we operate, and then we just go out and do the job from there.
But lots of times when you hear people talk or you see social media, you know, oh, Southern Miss just doesn't have any money, Southern Miss is poor, and so on and so forth. And although certainly there are institutions that have a lot more money than Southern Miss, it would be my assertion that we're not exactly ready for the breadline.
Right, right. We don't use it as an excuse. If you look at the folks that we have in our department, we have folks who have worked really hard to get to Southern Miss and are privileged to be at Southern Miss. And so we don't look at it or spend a lot of time talking about what we don't have. What we do is look at the advantages we do have, which are plentiful at Southern Miss as well. You know, this is a great institution. It's a Carnegie Research One school with a breadth of degree offerings. So, you know, any pretty much any kid that wants to come here, we have something for them to study. We have an incredible faculty and staff on campus that are very supportive of our students. We have a lot of first-generation college students as student-athletes and also as our students. So, you know, Southern Miss is a place that changes the trajectory of people's lives for generations because that first-generation college student goes and gets that degree. So, and we're in a great location, obviously, as you know, not only for a university, but from an athletic perspective as well, in the great state of Mississippi and where we're located and the ability to go and find talent and kids who fit this university. So, yeah, you know, we may not have as much as some, but we've always punched above our weight at Southern Miss, and that's who we are. So we just go about our business and go. And, you know, it's not always a direct line between success and what you spend. You know, certainly there are some advantages when you have more funding that help you from a staffing perspective or from what you can do for your athletes. But, you know, our approach is we've got enough. And we've got a loyal and supportive fan base that is at the top of this league as far as the size and the passion. And that's not coach speak. And that, you know, you've seen it and you've seen other schools. And so we have that. And that's something that people talk about all the time. We have an incredible brand, a national brand. Southern Miss resonates across the country, you know, historically going back to, you know, Coach Bauer and anyone, anywhere, anytime, and all the successes of baseball and all the different things that have happened at Southern Miss over the years. We have an appropriate reputation for being a really tough school full of tough people. And then we have folks who are here who have worked their way up and fought hard to get here. You don't see a lot of folks who are here who have maybe been at huge schools and then they're at Southern Miss. They've worked to get here. So we've all always had to be very resourceful and fight hard for what we have.
All right, let's take a look now at some of the legislative things going on. And it's probably going to take us really to unpack this and to look at it in layman's terms that the average listener is going to be able to understand. Let's start with the Save College Sports Act. Give us your elevator speech on your what this is about.
Well, let me start off. I always like to say this. I'm not an attorney. I've got a master's in PE. So, but you know, we've all learned it, studied it, paid very close attention to it. It was a bill that was introduced by Senators Cruz and Cantwell. The intention is to create a national framework for college sports rather than leaving schools to navigate state law and court rulings, and then, of course, conference policy. So, plain language, it creates a national NIL law. It protects revenue sharing. We can get into more of the details of this as we go. But biggest thing, it protects antitrust protection. So arguably, that's the NCAA's biggest hot button issue with this because the bill will give the NCAA and our leagues protection from future lawsuits when you're enforcing rules on eligibility, transfers, roster management, and compensation. It limits transfers. It goes back to a one-time transfer, unrestricted transfer during an athlete's career. And then it regulates agents to make sure we have the right folks representing these students so that there's some framework there. And then it has some protections for Olympic sports and women's sports. It's something that's very much supported by the NCAA. The ACC's put their stamp of approval behind it, the Big 12, mid-major conferences. Obviously, there's been pushback from the SEC and the Big 10, and we can get into more of that. It has passed a Senate Commerce Committee, but it's got a lot of work still to do to get through the full Senate and then the House. So percentage-wise, depending on who you're talking to, it might have at most a 50% chance of passing, and we need something to pass. All of us do, and the trouble is getting everybody on the same page with it to make it be something that everybody's satisfied with signing off on.
And interestingly, when you talk to the general public, they'll go, we can't let the government be involved in any of this stuff because we know how inefficient the government is. But at least the government is trying to do something.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge is right now, the same folks who created the rules, which are the institutions, you know, the NCAA is made up of all the institutions that are members. So we created these rules. And now when a rule doesn't suit, whether that's an individual, you know, a student in particular, then there's a lawsuit and that lawsuit's filed in state court. And so that state or that district sees that and then rules on it. And you can't move forward until we have something that's ironclad enough to protect from lawsuits. Otherwise, we're just going to sue every time somebody sees something that they don't like or that they want to change, and we'll never, ever get off this, you know, this hamster wheel that we're on right now.
Because really the only people that have made much money up to this point are the attorneys.
They've done well. That's for sure. They've yeah. definitely been the winners so far in this.
And if I interpret your feedback correctly, the Save College Sports Act would protect the NCAA from a lot of this.
That's it. Yeah, it would protect from the lawsuits. An example would be there was a lawsuit yesterday in Ohio related to the new 5-for-5 rule, and 15 athletes won the case, so they get a fifth year, even though they completed their eligibility last year. We can get into that 5-for-5 after the break.
Well, we are also going to talk about is the age of 27 to 28-year-old high or college athletes, is that gone? What about eligibility going forward? Transfers, so much more to talk about with the Senior Deputy Athletic Director at Southern Miss, Sean Jones, when the Eagle Hour rolls on in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Second segment of the program brought to you by Mobay Beignet Company at 2902 Hardy Street. You've always heard the phrase, you can't miss it, and people go, oh gosh, don't tell me that because I'll be the first person to miss it. You cannot miss Mobay Beignet Company, right across from the main entrance to the beautiful campus at Southern Miss, right across from the Rose Garden there, the main entrance, in that little shopping center right on the corner. A lot of students, when they're in school, like to study at Mobay Beignet early in the morning, late at night. And, of course, all the different freshly made beignets that don't even get made until you order. So you might have to wait a minute or two longer than you normally would, but isn't freshness worth it? And the taste certainly is. We appreciate them being with us, Mobay Beignet Company. As we continue our discussion with Sean Jones, the Senior Deputy Athletic Director and COO at the Southern Miss Athletic Department, Sean, you mentioned it on the in the first segment, the 5-for-5 rule, and that is obviously a much shorter version of what you're about to explain to us.
Yeah, so it's age-based eligibility. It does go into effect this fall. It's a 5-year period for collegiate eligibility. It means when a student-athlete initially enrolls full-time at a college institution or the start of the academic year following their 19th birthday, their clock starts. So what this does is it eliminates red shirts. It eliminates clock extension waivers. It also eliminates medical hardship waivers. So you have 5 years to play 5 years. And so you could come in as a freshman play and play for 5 years. If you get hurt and lose a year, you get to play for 4 years. But the exemptions are very, very short. Really, the exemptions are what the exemptions originally were before eligibility started to get sued into what it is now. The only exemptions are active duty military service, a pregnancy exception, or a religious mission exception. So
if you get repeatedly injured, you're, as we used to say, SOL.
That's right, because the amount of waivers that have gone through institutions and the NCAA, it's just more than the system and more than the people in place can handle. And it's created, some situations that weren't intended. And we talked about it a bit off air. It's created some situations where you have these kids playing for a seventh year sometimes, and then you've got a coach that can't understand why their kid can't get a fifth year. And it's all based on the rules, but it's difficult to explain, and you've got to get, you know, all these people involved to be able to get you the right answer and go through all these different committees and the different sorts of bureaucratic processes. So, you know, we've turned around and had kids who have played, you know, more than 4 years, and kids who are not kids anymore, 25, 26, 27. So that's why it's called the age-based eligibility model. The intention is, you know, 19 at the latest you're entering, except for those three slim exemptions. So, you know, 23 years old or whatever, you're done. So it is more collegiate.
And people who have complained about, well, that's not fair. Boy, what happened to the adage of life isn't fair?
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's just got to be rules, right?
And that's at some point.
That's sort of the simplest way to put it. And we've put ourselves in a position where the rules are challenged in court. And they're rules of an association that the members have agreed to. But in a court of law, they don't have to agree with those rules. So when they look at it, they're looking at it from law and precedent. So, or creating precedent, you know, this 5 for 5 is rolling right along. And then yesterday there was a suit that was decided in Ohio that a class action lawsuit, 15 athletes had come together who just completed their eligibility this year. So they would have been done in the 25-26 year. And the court said, number one, yes, you can have another year, even though they were done. And then B said, you can enter the portal if you want. And the portal, and I think most of them or all of them were basketball players, the portal closed on April 27th. So they're opening it up only for those 15 kids. And then it's going to probably lead to other athletes in other states filing lawsuits to get a fifth year. Because, again, you have to start things like age-based eligibility somewhere. So it starts this fall, but those that are late to it, I say those right now, it's 15 folks in right. Ohio, but they say, well, wait a minute, that's not fair to me because I only played 4 years and I just finished. I want another year. And the court, at least in Ohio in that district, said, yes, you get another year. So what's that going to lead to across the country? Keep in mind that if Blake Anderson, Jay Ladner, Christian Ostrander, pick a coach, you know, had a senior who completed their eligibility last year, what did they do? They did what coaches do. They replaced that person with someone who is eligible within the framework to move forward. So there aren't any spots left at those schools because they've been recruited. But that's sort of the tenuous position that we've all been put in. We're not put in that position yet. We're not put in that position in Mississippi at this point, but it certainly could happen in the coming days, weeks, and months.
And almost to the day, a year ago, the House settlement was brought forward. And let's rewind the tape there and refresh people's memories as to what the House settlement was all about.
Sure.
And listeners, we are going to get to Southern Miss Athletics. Trust me. We're going to.
Well, and this is a big part of Southern Miss Athletics right now. This is the inner working. You know, my part of Southern Miss Athletics is running the day-to-day operations of the department and supporting the programs behind the scenes in these different areas that they're not what you pay the ticket to go watch. It's not what I'd enjoy either as far as why I got into the business. I love being around the kids, the coaches, watching them compete and winning, right?
Yeah, so those are the things. Sexy. You're
but this
right
is the business of right. our business, and it's changed so much. You know, the House settlement definitely is the biggest change ever or in decades to college sports, going back to when the NCAA was founded due to player safety. I think Teddy Roosevelt was the person who really pushed that forward to create the NCAA. So it's the biggest change since then for sure. And what it did was it ended the prohibition on paying players and allowed institutions to pay players. So what changed with House beginning on July 1st of 2025, it seems like it was 5 years ago. It was just over a year ago. Is that Division I schools that opt in, which of course we did and everybody at the FBS level did, it means that we can share revenue with student athletes to a cap of up to $20.5 million, and that cap will then continue to rise a little bit each year. But it allows you to pay revenue share with your student athletes, not as employees, but you're just sharing revenue. It's not pay for play. It's for their image and for having them as a part of your team. The other thing that the House settlement did was it forced to pay athletes back damages. So I think it was around $2.8 billion, I believe, to be paid over several years to athletes who competed before NIL and all those things were in place and they were unable to earn compensation. And so what that means is that our distributions from March Madness, our student assistance fund that we typically get each year from the NCAA, all those distributions have gone down significantly because that money is being used to pay off these lawsuits. So you talked earlier about kind of our funding mechanisms, and so there was a chunk. It wasn't a huge chunk, but a chunk that came from the NCAA. Well, that's now much, much smaller because we're going to pay off Power Four players, not even the kids that played at Southern Miss. It's going on. But we're part of that association. We're part of the Division One level, so everybody has to pay their part. And then what they did was they created an oversight over NIL, which is how this all started. As you remember, NIL was originally the thought process. We're going to pay these young men and women for their likeness. They can go out and cut deals with folks and do that so that they can do commercials and those sorts of things. And so the College Sports Commission was created. It was created, and I think the board consists of presidents in the SEC and the Big Ten to manage third-party NIL deals to determine whether they're legitimate market value agreements or if they're just recruiting inducements. And that's where it gets real gray. That's really more of a Power Four issue and more of a particular SEC, Big Ten, but all the Power Fours, because we're never going to hit that cap on the rev share of $20.5 million. And then the other thing it did was it changed scholarship and roster rules. So you get more scholarships in certain sports. Like you went from 11.7 in baseball to the ability to have 34, but you can only have 34 players. And basketball can only have 15 players and et cetera. So you're not able to have as many walk-ons. You're not able to have as many folks on your team.
We've seen on the coaching landscape that a lot of, particularly with basketball, that a lot of the big names, not Calipari, but Jim Boeheim and Mike Krzyzewski and so, have said, and Nick Saban on the football level have said, this is all for the birds. I'm out. Okay. Do you anticipate, and I ask that because Jamie Pollard at Iowa State, who is the longest tenured athletic director in the Big 12, has announced he's retiring. Do you think that we're now going to start seeing ADs, Sean, say that this is for the birds and I'm leaving too?
Definitely. I think we have. They're just not as highly publicized as when a coach does it. I think that you're seeing a lot of folks that if they can, you know, if they're at the point in their career where they can, a lot of them have decided that this is not a time they want to do this anymore because all the things that were there before that you had to deal with are still there. And now you have these pieces as well, which add a whole other complete complex set of problems to have to deal with. So, yeah, I think it's certainly the case where you're seeing a lot of folks decide it's time to head to the beach, as we hear right here.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You'd think you'd done a little radio over the years, Sean. As we listen to former Southern Miss student Jimmy Buffett, who I think still owed a lot of money on his parking tickets.
I'm sure they've been absolved. We're good.
Yeah. Well, he's not around anymore anyway to take care of him. But we are going to talk more about, we're going to talk specifically about Southern Miss football and maybe some things on the horizon that Sean may feel comfortable sharing with us. That and more stuff when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And don't forget, about 15 minutes after the show is finished here live, you'll be able to download the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast at the Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube formats, or you can ask Alexa or Siri to play the Eagle Hour for you. As we continue talking with Sean Jones from the Southern Miss Athletic Department. All right, Media Day next week, actually Southern Miss's Day, the western side of the Sun Belt will be featured on Thursday. I think that's going to be streamed on ESPN+, if you're not able to make it to New Orleans for Media Day, but we always look forward to going down there. The Eastern Division teams will be on the stage on Wednesday. Sean, I first want to talk about season tickets, because every year, every school talks about how, you know, season tickets, got to get your season tickets. And there's a reason, because that's kind of the backbone of athletic departments, isn't it?
That's the fuel, and so I think when you talk to athletic directors now, much more open and direct with everyone on their own teams about, hey, if you see football getting this or getting that, it's because they're the revenue driver, because ultimately the most seats and the opportunity to generate the most revenue that then in turn comes back and helps support every other program. So, yeah, that's the thing with football. And so if you're, you know, a fan of another sport more so than football, but you love Southern Miss athletics and you want to see that sport be successful, then if you can and you have the means, looking for ways to support, one way is to buy tickets, give them out to your friends and folks. But because that money does go back to help generate revenue for the entire department to operate.
Now, I remember there was a steamy movie that came out years ago called 9.5 Weeks, and we're certainly not going to talk about that. But when we talk about Southern Miss's football team, they could be called 2.5 Weeks.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially all the coaching staff had to put this squad together.
Absolutely wild. It's really a documentary within itself, and I got to be, you know, embedded as quote unquote part of that process. But you know, the job that Blake Anderson and his staff did, you know, if you think about it, Kelly, we ended our season on December 23rd in the New Orleans Bowl. We hired Blake, I think it was December 15th. And then that portal window, and this year only one window, a shorter window. The year before there were two windows. And so you had a period of 2.5 weeks in January to build your team, not just us, but everyone. In our case, we lost 33 seniors. 17 players followed Coach Huff to Memphis, and another 11 players entered the portal to go other places. Pretty normal numbers, to be honest. But that total for us turned out to be 61. So we have 71 new guys on our team, and we had 2.5 weeks to sign them through the portal and through that window to get them here. So it was speed dating and it was fast, but we've got a great staff. I think they really did a nice job in evaluation. I will tell you, folks will really resonate with this team. You know, I wish everybody could come out and had the time to sit where I sat and be able to watch these guys practice and work out. But I love the makeup of this group and what Blake and his staff did. First of all, they took their rev share dollars and sort of spread them throughout the team so that you have a chance at, I believe, a cohesive unit. You don't have 20 guys making a whole bunch of money and then 80 guys making nothing and some locker room dissension. And then we didn't sign an inexperienced team. That's the other thing I want people to understand. You have to think differently than in the past. Oh, new means rebuild, new means. Well, in our case now, new means you just have guys, in our case specifically here, that have a lot of snaps and a lot of experience. I just spent time with about 15 Division I football coaches the last 2 days at this little summit we had with coaches, administrators, and folks. And we were talking through these challenges. And they said that the thing that we did this, some Power 4 schools I talked to did this, they looked for snaps. You're trying to sign snaps, experience. And so we signed a lot of guys with FCS experience. We signed some guys that had some Power 4 experience, but they didn't have as much playing time. Maybe they were the number 2 receiver instead of the number 1 or whatever. We signed some junior college kids, and then we signed some really good high school kids because more of them are available now than ever before. So with that being said, we've signed guys that have played a lot of football, and we signed guys that are excited to be at Southern Miss. Like for them, you know, a young man who maybe was overlooked in the recruiting process, say he went to an FCS school, played and had a good experience, but his goal was to be an FBS player. What, there's only 133 of us, right? And so we're giving him that opportunity. So many of our guys come here now, this group, thinking, I get to be at Southern Miss. This is incredible. I love this place. This town is great. People love us here. They know who we are. We get some nutritional benefits. We get gear. We get treated well. We have academic support. And so what we've seen so far is a group of guys that have been really hungry, working really hard in the weight room. We have Matt Shadid as our strength coach, who I truly believe is one of the best strength coaches in the country. And then our coaches and the time they get to work with them, I've watched them fly around. And so our objective this year is going to be one that has a chance to build great chemistry. A lot of guys are going to play. We're going to roll a lot of depth at you. We're going to let guys roll in. In the fourth quarter, we're going to be the faster team, the better conditioned team, and we're able to roll more guys and play more guys and keep them fresh. And that's the plan. That's the plan to win. So hopefully that's where we're going to be.
But you will grant me that the quarterback is always the bell cow
Absolutely.
Of a team. I mean, if you got a Jalen Reiner last year going in Arkansas State, everybody's yep. expecting great things because he's been under center at Arkansas State, knows the system. And the Eagles' current situation, new guys, although a couple of them do have some snaps from last season, but we don't necessarily know at this point who the guy is going to be.
Yes, you're right on the first part. Quarterback, most important position in sport. Second part is we have a really healthy competition right now. John White's really improved and like the old way it used to be. He's developed. He's put his time in. He's gotten stronger. His arm's gotten stronger.
Yeah.
He's learned Blake's system. Landry Liddy had a lot of snaps last year. He's gotten better. And then we brought in Ethan Hampton. Ethan Hampton was at Illinois last year. He was at Northern Illinois before that, led him to a victory over Notre Dame, got them into a bowl situation when he took over as a starter. I was talking to one of his coaches from Illinois yesterday, and he loves Ethan. And he said, man, Ethan was our guy till we got Luke Altmyer. And then we got Luke Altmyer, and he just, you know, couldn't beat him out. But he's looked really good. And I love our offense. You know, I heard some criticism from some fans, and that's great. And that's always – fans are passionate. They're like, you know, we were pretty conservative last year on offense at times. Well, number one, that was Coach Huff's view of protecting his defense, and I respect that's what he's always done. But number two, he had a lot of injuries. But we're fast on offense this year. We are moving fast, and that's exciting. And so it's Blake's offense. Kyle Cefalo's running it. He's our OC. He's been Blake's OC at Arkansas State and Utah State. He was at Cal last year. He's been around. Blake's coaching the whole team, which has been fun to see. It's been tough, tougher than any preseason I've ever been a part of in 30-some years. And he gets after those guys and challenges them. But they have responded to it. But I like our quarterback battle. It's not a worry. That's what I would say. It's not a worry. Sure, there's some unknown, of course, but I like the experience and the guys who have developed competing for that role.
You know, you were talking about Ethan Hampton being an Illinois guy. Michael Merkin's our producer engineer. He's an Illinois guy.
Michael's great, but he talks too much. That's the only problem.
Right.
ILL.
I.
There you go. That's it.
There you go.
The Illinois alliance, yeah. I think. So when Coach Anderson and the players go to New Orleans next week, what do you anticipate the question that he will be asked the most? You've got some media background experience.
I think the question... The simple question is, Coach, you have the newest roster in FBS football. You have the most new guys of anybody, 71 new guys. So take me through the process of how you got them and how do they look. I mean, that's where you start. We just sort of talked about that. But there should be a lot of curiosity and there should be a lot of questions because we're new. It's a new group. But again, it's not an inexperienced group. It's a new group together. So that's where the chemistry becomes critical and the ability to not, you know, the ability to have complete trust in your teammates and belief in your teammates. And that's like so easy to say, and you've seen it a million times and we all have. It's part of sport. Like some teams click and some teams don't, and it's critical for this team to click. So far they have. But of course, September 5th, it all changes when we line up with somebody in a different color uniform.
And before this idea escapes my mind, you were talking about, you know, different position players being paid. Just wanted to get your feedback on what Kirk Ferentz said the other day at Iowa, that the Hawkeyes are only going to pay defensive players. And when I saw that, I'm thinking that is a terrible idea.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to do it, that's for sure. And I certainly am not going to question Kirk Ferentz, one of the great college football coaches, best offensive line coach on the planet, number one, and just a tremendous head coach and career. That's not how we do it. And you know, I think typically you start with your quarterback, and then you go to your left tackle. And then you go to your rush edges, and then you start to go interior D-line, back to O-line, to the back end, secondary. And then, you know, your running backs, receivers, skill guys are kind of on the back end of how you distribute your funds.
And I think a lot of people would think that the receivers and running backs would be among the first. The top guys that get drafted in your NFL fantasy league doesn't necessarily work that way. That's in right. College when it comes to getting money. When we come back in our final segment with Sean Jones, we're going to talk about the future of Southern Miss, maybe talk a little bit about facilities, what's going on at Reed Green, and And more along those lines, the entire hour with Sean Jones and you. We're glad that you're with us, and this Friday edition of the Eagle Hour continues after these commercial messages.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Don't forget MCS Home Center for home repair, home remodeling, and home construction. Everything you need for your next project, including lawn and garden, is available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue, west of Hattiesburg. MCS is the new home improvement center with local folks eager to help you at 7329 Highway 98 West. And Forest Health reminds you to make sure that you get that annual physical each year to be sure that your health is as good as it can be. And Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. One of the big reasons that retirees across the country name Hattiesburg one of the top 10 places to retire is because of the healthcare professionals at Forest Health, and you can find them online at foresthealth.org. Wrapping up our conversation with Sean Jones, the Senior Deputy Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer at Southern Miss. Let's talk a little bit about facilities. It's gotten to be kind of a running joke, Sean, about, you know, Reed Green Coliseum and the people who improved Highway 49 south of Jackson apparently got that job because it's been going on for 20 years. But we've also talked about how bureaucracy, it's just a booger to deal with.
A lot of approvals, a lot of running things through and then changing this and that and changing this and that. And then obviously value engineering is a big piece of it too. You know, you have ideas and plans and then you find out what it actually costs and you got to go back and change those things. So, you know, those are processes. And then the other thing with this one is just that we're not closing the building. If we closed the building and had somewhere else reasonable to play, and of course we looked at all those options and scenarios, and, you know, displacing your basketball teams for a 2 or 3 year period would be devastating to your programs and their ability to recruit and their ability to practice and work out. So we had to do it in phases. And so we're in phase now where we're doing the unsexy work, you know, the underground utility work and infrastructure things and a lot of digging outside on the south end, as you can see, and starting to get things ready for construction there for what will be the practice facility, you know, inside, painted the inside of the arena and just finished that up. So we've opened it back up to the teams. And then this fall, we'll start with construction on the south end. You'll start to see some steel going up for the practice facility. It'll start throughout the year to work its way around from south to north. And then really the major part of the work inside, you know, the part that when you walk in the arena and you see the newer and improved Reed Green, that's going to be from really the minute the ball stops bouncing next March until November, really November 1st. And that's when a lot of the overbuilds and the real construction will take place in there.
Anything about the rock? Any ideas?
Of ideas. You know, certainly the rock is one that's important. A lot of work's gone into the rock recently.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
infrastructure work and improving and steel. We've done seven figures worth of work on it each of the last 2 years, just to rebar and steel that had to be replaced that was, you know, going back to the 30s and 40s. So. And then, of course, everybody wants to know about the peat, and those plans are rolling forward. Again, lots of approvals that are out of our hands that have to take place, and you have to make sure that when you put out a drawing that you don't put out a champagne dream on a beer budget, that it's something you can afford. So you don't want to put out $70 million drawings and then only raise $25 and have people disappointed at a $25 million renovation. So all of that's going. It's going hard and as full as it can. It's just people don't. You know, people want things when they want it, especially now. I get it. We're all wired that way now. But there's a lot of work going into that, and a lot of approvals we're just waiting on before we can release some drawings. We've got other things going. We've got some great community support, some donor support on a soccer facility for the team, a locker room, team meeting room deal. We're about to move into something for tennis as well to replace the old trailer that's out there. So there's lots of positive facility movement right now. Lots of things going on, and then some things that we still want to do, of course, that are in the hopper. Just got to have the money to do it.
And I think the biggest shining example of facilities and what they can mean has been the meteoric rise of the men and women's golf team.
Yeah,
since the Judson facility was built out at Hattiesburg Country
Club. Yeah, I mean, the Gittes Golf Center and the Judson Family Practice venue out there have changed the trajectory of those programs and given them an opportunity to recruit on a level playing field. And it's kind of like when you give Southern Miss a chip and a chair, we got a chance. And that's exactly what that facility did. And Kevin and Sarah are tremendous supporters. We may be doing some things with that facility, hopefully in the near future as well, to even improve it some more, some locker rooms and things. We're going through the kind of the silent phase of fundraising on that as well right now. So lots and lots of positive, projects in the air. Also, you mentioned earlier the academic side of things. We just had the best, even though we're in this crazy world, we just had the best GPA in athletic department history. Football just had the highest GPA in school history. So you still got the positive academic things going. We finished third in the league director's cup. Our budget is 13th in the league out of 14. We finished third. We always want to be better. We're always looking to improve, but you have to be able to look at it objectively. If you're going to look at it negatively, you got to be able to look at it the other way too. And we objectively had a decent year last year that bang for the buck was solid, but I'm really, really excited about our men's basketball roster and that group coming together under Coach Ladner. I think that's going to be a lot of fun too. I mean, I think we got another truly fun year coming up on the horizon.
And remember, fans, they will take a check.
Absolutely. USM Athletic Foundation. But we're grateful. We're grateful for our fans that are supporting us now. And we have the best fan base in group of five. And I'd say, comparatively speaking, in the country. So we're very blessed and appreciative of what everybody does to support us.
You're hired, Sean. You're hired. Hey, thanks for spending the whole
hour
Kelly.
With us, man. Appreciate
great,
you, man.
Great weekend,
it.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
When we come back next week, Bob Getty will at some point be back. And I think the new proud papa, Dima Mixon, will rejoin us on Monday. We hope you have a good stay cool this weekend, and we will see you back here again Monday at 1 o'clock. For producer engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sanner. Until Monday, as always, Southern Miss
to the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.